program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. Well, June, last night you talked about the, talk about the use of amen and a woman to end a prayer that was done in our Congress. And so you have a little more about what the Congress has done to clean up, I think they would say, the language, to modernize the language of what goes on there.
Well, the reason I just wanted to come back and mention this is because of the concept of tolerance. It's confusing when people tell you, you need to be tolerant. Okay, about what? For example, I remember having a conversation and I said, it really bothers me that when there are to be peaceful protests, when they turn into a riot and then a police precinct is burned to the ground, there are people, police, and that are not only injured, but, you know, stabbed in the neck, all kinds of things. And I mentioned these things, and killed. At what point is there tolerance? Am I to be tolerant over criminal behavior? I can tell you, while I presented many things on this program that were of concern, based on biblical truth, based on, and that's what I always look at, what does the Bible say? And instead of me going by what I think, I need to present what God says. I need to present God's truth for today's problems. And that's where we began our ministry literally 34 years ago. We're approaching the beginning of our 35th anniversary on March 3rd. But the bottom line is, I remember thinking, whatever I'm going to be doing, I want to see what God says about it. And so when I saw some language that I thought, it was on tolerance, and I mentioned last night, it was Archbishop Fulton Sheen years ago. I was not around when he said this, but he wrote, tolerance applies only to persons, never to truth. And I thought, I was interested because I know that people want us to be tolerant about a lot of things. And should we always be tolerant? I noticed Jesus was not always tolerant. If you look at the Bible, there are times when he took a stand against what was going on wrong within the culture, and other times he did not. He would literally offer forgiveness toward a person who was caught in adultery, someone who had a changed life through Christ, you know, where you see multiple things happening. So how do you know what to do? Well, the writing, again, this is not my writing, but I was struck by it, saying that, like, architects are as intolerant about sand as a foundation, using a foundation for skyscraper, as doctors are intolerant about germs in the laboratory. Tolerance does not apply to truth or principles. About these things, we must be intolerant. And as we don't change our position on truth, we don't just, oh, well, okay, it's my truth, but not your truth. Or, you know, this. No, truth is transcultural. And I know that we need to figure out where do we take a stand. In fact, Fulton Sheen said, intolerance of this kind, in other words, to be intolerant about giving in to truth or trying to say it doesn't matter or, oh, well, I'll just overlook it. No, we don't do that. And so he says this is positive intolerance, which is the foundation of all stability. So, yes, the issue of the pastor who the other day began the, he presented his prayer and closed with Amen and I woman. And I thought, you know, does he not know that Amen means so be it? And we talked about that last night. What is that word? It has nothing to do with gender. It is let it be so. So the issue is not this pastor. It's where are we? Do we change the truth that a person is a certain gender? We're being told now you can't use father, mother, gender words. That's banned in the House of Representatives. I think, now, is that really right? Am I to be tolerant about that and say, oh, it doesn't matter? I think we need to take another look. Don't be foolish. We are told not to be foolish in the Bible. And therefore, we can present different I'm going to be presenting different things that I think are important to consider. And you pray about it and say, is this how God wants me to believe?
Do you have a heart for people who are hurting and broken? You want to throw them a lifeline, but sometimes you just don't know how. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training designed just for you. Using video-based instruction from leading experts, plus relevant case studies and interactive exercises, you can discover how to effectively provide support, encouragement, and spiritual care. The ultimate goal is to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This 10-week Lifeline to Hope program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church and community. Be the person in your church that brings together caregivers to become better equipped to meet the hurting. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
In these challenging times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, and fear due to the unknowns a global pandemic can bring to daily life. What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear is a free download from Hope for the Heart. You'll discover what Scripture says on these issues and see how God cares about the struggles we face in life. Simply go to hopefortheheart.org/COVID to download your free resource titled, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? It's quick and easy to get your digital copy of this free resource that is filled with hope for these troubling times. That title again is, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? You can find it at hopefortheheart.org/COVID. That's hopefortheheart.org/COVID.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, and we want to thank you for your prayers and support of this ministry. If you have questions about any topic that we raise here on the program, we have over 100 keys for living, sure to help you address whatever might be happening in your life or the life of someone you care about, and you can help them with our resources. Call customer support now at 800-488-HOPE. And they can help you access the appropriate resources. Again, that's 800-488-4673. I want to encourage you also to check out our website at hopefortheheart.org/store. You can find the new updated Keys for Living, the Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's biblical resources. It's all there at hopefortheheart.org/store. Let's get to our caller for tonight. And this evening, calling from Colorado tonight, we have George.
Hi, George. Welcome to Hope.
Hi, June.
Glad you're with us. How can we help you?
Okay. Well, I'm calling because I've attended, well, sometimes I attend a church, and after the service, they have a food bank, and where, you know, depending on your family size, you get mm-hmm. a box of food, and then if there's children, you get a kids bag.
Uh-huh.
Now the food bank is run by the pastor's wife.
Okay.
And majority of the recipients are underprivileged.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is the pastor's wife and the staff are verbally and emotionally abusive to the recipients.
Oh,
and
I'm so sorry.
I did not. I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't put my finger. I didn't have a name for it. My sister had attended for a while, and then she stopped attending. She says, "No, I'm not going back there." And she described some things that were going on. But then through listening to your show and some other counseling shows on Christian radio, I said, "That's verbal and emotional abuse."
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So, and so I was wondering how I should handle or what should I do or if I mm-hmm. should do anything.
Would you give me an example? I appreciate you if you could give me several examples of what you observed.
Well, let me see. Well, there's a cutoff time for mm-hmm. the food bank, and they would lock the door, the front door, and so that after the cutoff time, no one would be allowed in,
mm-hmm.
And then if you like say if you went around the side of the building, they would someone would yell at you, either the pastor's wife or some of the staff, and then someone had reported to the fire department that they were locking a door, and the fire department said you can't. As long as there's people in, there has to be two, you know, two exits. You can't lock the front door. So then they went to a little card with numbers on it, so then they could identify who came in before the cutoff time. And another example is I'd come close to the cutoff time one time, and sometimes they give, in addition to giving away food, they'll give away soap or dishwashing detergent or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I got my one time I got a food box, and then right next to the box there was a bottle of dishwashing detergent. And so I picked it up, I said, does this go along with the box?
Mm-hmm.
And it actually belonged to one of the volunteers. And she goes, no, that's mine, and snatched it out of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if she said, that's mine, the next thing, oh, I'm sorry, here, I'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when I arrived, because I was arrived close to the cutoff time, she had said, what do you want?
Mm.
Not hello, how are you today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's things like these. And and they were trained to be like this by the pastor's wife.
Hmm.
And I used to think, well, the pastor's nice, but his wife is mean. But then I learned about an enabler. I learned what that was.
Mm-hmm.
He's not nice because he sees what she does, but he doesn't stop her.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't stop her from harming people. So then I finally came to the list. Yeah, that's not nice. If mm-hmm. you allow wrongdoing to go on, that doesn't make you nice. It's because you're not doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I understand when there is a tone of voice that, and you know, what many times people will say, well, but these are just volunteers, or whatever. There's no excuse for verbal abuse, or any kind of abuse. There's no excuse for verbal abuse. But the question then is, you're right. You're asking a question. Is there something I can do? I want to say that I am aware that there are times when there are time restrictions, meaning there needs to be a cutoff time. Like at our ministry, when we get back to having conferences that we normally do, we have security in our Hope Center. And there are times when I'm being told, June, we've got to exit out of here. You know, we've got to allow the security, because we pay them, you know, and we have to allow them to do the rounds and cut off, you know. And I always feel, my tendency is I'd rather give more time if people are wanting time to talk about certain things in their lives, et cetera. But I also know that I also have to go by the rules, even though it's our ministry and regardless of what we do. One thing, therefore, that, and this is not anything new to you, would be just be sure that you get there, or encourage others to not wait till the last minute, to get there early enough so that people aren't needing to stay longer. Because sometimes that's the sensitivity. Well, we're causing people to stay longer than they anticipated, or according to what their stated schedule should be. And that just means that's a discipline that you would need to have and others would need to have. But, you know, it is very challenging when you have someone with a critical spirit. I call it a critical spirit. People who can, they could just as easily, as you said, be gracious, be kind, be, you know, oh, good to see you, as opposed to what do you want, you know. That does not invite that spirit that should be prevalent, I think, within every church. And most pastors, well, I think really, now you made a comment. You said, the husband is nice, but the wife is mean. And then I know you said, however, if he's enabling her to do that, that's not nice. But I can tell you, there are so many people who actually feel powerless. I am one of those who, for a number of years, even though I was the head of a ministry, and, you know, started, I was founder of Hope for the Heart, at times I would let a particular person, and I did this a couple of times, where I felt powerless. I wasn't powerless, but I didn't know how to deal with the word that you mentioned, enabler. And you're right, that if we allow someone else to treat another person or a group of people wrongly, I can think I'm not capable of doing anything about it. But I had to go back and look at, because I'll tell you what happened. I was challenged. Why do you allow these people to talk to you this way? Why do you allow this person to talk to you this way? And I kept hearing this, and I remember I kept thinking, I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. Now, I was wrong that I didn't have a choice, but it took me a long time, too long, to change. But I'm just telling you, I was one of those who I didn't know what to do, because even if I said something to a person who would be short with people, or especially with me, that I was the main target, I needed to change based on not being, and as you use the word, not being an enabler. An enabler is a person who enables another person to continue on in their dysfunction. And we describe this in our material on codependency. You have a misplaced dependency. Like, at times we can have a misplaced dependency on a certain person. We feel, I can't do anything about this situation. I'm dependent on that person, and I'm powerless to change the circumstance. We'll talk a little bit more about it, but I'm afraid that dealing with this, we're even talking about me.
Addiction, abuse, violence, grief and loss, depression and suicide, marital and family stress. These are only some of the problems the church faces today. As a pastor, you may feel overwhelmed with the needs of those in your church and community. As a first responder within your faith community, how do you manage the crisis around you? Imagine raising up those in your church to come alongside you, helping you meet the needs of hurting people. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training program for your church. This 10-week video-based program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers and help you launch a dynamic caregiving ministry. Equip your church to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. Customer support is ready to take your calls now at 800-488-HOPE, and they can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. Let me recommend to you the Keys for Living called Critical Spirit, Confronting the Heart of a Critic, also Bullying, Bullied No More. Those are Keys for Living you can ask for by name there at 800-488-4673. If you have something going on in your life and you'd like to speak with June Hunt about that specific situation maybe and get a little more clarity on that and godly insight and wisdom on your situation, please call us at 800-917. We can have you on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night. The number again, 800-NIGHT17. Just call and follow the prompts. Leave us a detailed message so we can get right back and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-917 or 800-644-4817. Let's return to our call now with George.
Well, George, I hear your concern because you mentioned this church and the wife, the pastor's wife, being basically the head of the food bank, and yet there are times when the tone of voice is not right, or the treatment, you mentioned abusive, you know, verbally and emotionally abusive. And as I said, when you gave the illustrations of the cutoff time for the food bank, you know, it's obviously then be sure to go earlier, but I hear what you said loud and clear, you know, like the attitude of one of the workers, you know, what do you want? And, you know, that's almost attacking, or maybe it is attacking when it's, again, the tone of voice. It's like criticizing, and that's why I use the term critical spirit. But in terms of the word enabler, an enabler perpetuates another person's destructive behavior by protecting that person from painful consequences that could actually serve as a motivation to change. And you're wanting to know is, you know, what could I do? Is there anything that you could do to make a difference? And many times it depends on the position that a person has in that person who is dysfunctional in that person's life. And it's kind of like there are parents who've called this program, and they allow their teenager's destructive drug habit to continue with no repercussions. And that means it's to the detriment of not only that teenager, but also the other family members. An enabling wife who is whose husband has a hangover because he's an alcoholic, but she's calling to say to the boss, oh, I think my husband just has the flu. I think maybe tomorrow he might be okay to come. You know, just but basically lying for someone. And this is where she must not, and we must not lie for people just to protect them, because it may be that the uncomfortable repercussion that they should experience would actually be a part of motivating them to change. Now, I'm mentioning these kind of relationships because one I just mentioned would be a parent, where you just don't give somebody money when you know that what they'll do is continue to use money in a wrong way, in this case for a drug habit, or just to get a husband who has this hangover and can't go to work the next day, but not to lie for him, because that's even against the biblical law. We're not to bear false witness. We're not to lie. So the reason I'm saying that is because these are certain relationships where we have an opportunity to make a difference. There are times when you and I will see wrong take place, and the question is, do we have any authority? Is there any ability to make a difference? Now, yes, you could always write a letter. If, though, let's say you are face-to-face with someone who, let's say it's at the food bank, and someone is being unkind, what I see in Scripture is we are not to be controlled by someone else, meaning we don't use revenge, we don't do evil for evil. Instead, what we are to do is to respond with kindness. And it's a choice you make. Sometimes it's a choice to, in a positive way, to reflect the kindness of the Lord. It's not wrong to, at times, if there's a misunderstanding, just say, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to, whatever, you know, to assume that this might have been mine or that was mine for the taking. So thank you for letting me know. And you be gracious, because God can use that kind of behavior in this way. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, his role is to convict us or to convict people that they're wrong. And sometimes by virtue of the kindness that you would give, when people are not kind to you, that can be an area that would actually help convict someone that they're wrong. In other words, when people are disrespectful toward me, their disrespect does not mean that I return in kind. I am to be respectful even if I'm being treated with disrespect. Does that part make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Because, see, people will know your character. They'll begin to see it over and over. If you are to be a part of that church, I can tell you, I understand what you meant about the husband's nice, but if he just enables his wife to continue on this way, then it's not nice. But I can tell you on a first-hand basis, until he knows how to handle it, and it, oddly enough, it was through material that I had written already, but I just didn't put into practice. I've written it on manipulation. We have what we call our keys for living on manipulation. But I still think I felt powerless, and I had to get over getting over some stuff from the past, from when I felt powerless growing up. In my home, we were not allowed to counter anything at all, ever, that my dad said. We didn't, there was no conflict resolution. I just didn't know, and I would not look like a person who would struggle in this area, I don't think, but I did. And it took me a long time, and I finally started applying what I had written on boundaries and what I had written on manipulation and written on verbal and emotional abuse. I just needed to apply what I had written, because I would learn what should be done, but doing it is another thing. And I would love to tell you, oh, I instantly applied as soon as I realized certain truths. I didn't. I didn't. I I just didn't feel powerful enough, and because I'm not a power person. I don't enjoy the concept of power, because I think I grew up with seeing an abuse of power, and so it was never attractive to me, even though I'm aware that I'm not necessarily viewed that way. But it was a real struggle for me to confront. Confrontation was, in fact, we had, when I started doing a course called Counseling Through the Bible, the word did 96 topics. Confrontation was not one of the topics, because I thought, I can't do that. I don't know how to confront. And so after several years, people said, they would periodically say, why don't you have something on confrontation? And I remember thinking, because I don't know how. And I just felt so inadequate. And finally, we kept being asked also on verbal and emotional abuse. And so finally, I wrote something on Islam. Verbal and emotional abuse was next. Jesus, is he God? On the deity of Christ, did that. And then the last of number 100 was confrontation. And I'm so glad I did it, because it made me look at all kinds of scenarios and the different ways to confront and all. But I can tell you, there are times when people flat don't know how to do it. And in this case, I know it could seem like it's not nice of the pastor to not, or how wrong he is to not take his wife on, if you will. But I've also learned, I had a pastor one time say to me, and this was a very prominent pastor who had a very unsubmissive wife, and he said to me, June, you know, you just can't make a wife submit. And he said it twice to me. It was just a private conversation. And I knew by reputation, he was dearly loved and very competent and, you know, an author of, an extraordinary pastor. But, and I didn't ask him, I don't know why that came up, but he just said those words to me, and I just kind of gently smiled and said, I understand. In other words, we don't have what I call the magic bopper to change people. Now, if we had a magic bopper and we could use it, I might use it first on me to become the person I needed to be in all areas. But I can tell you, many people assume that, like a husband or a pastor would have the ability to change a mate. That still is a personal decision. And I can tell you, this is one of the greatest difficulties within marriage relationships. I'd love to know what you think about this when we return. I would say, maybe give this pastor your compassion and pray for him that he would know how to handle this, and pray for her that she could change.
Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common, a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church. Biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people. Connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We're here because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry. We thank you so much. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of manipulation, you can get in touch with us. We have Keys for Living on that. It's called Cutting the Strings That Control. Also, let me recommend to you Codependency, Balancing an Unbalanced Relationship. Also, Keys for Living there, and as well as Verbal and Emotional Abuse, Victory Over the Power of Abuse. Any of those topics are available as you get in touch with us at customer support at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Also, you may email us at customercare@hopefortheheart.org and ask for any of those resources by name. You can order those there, or if you have any questions that were about what we might have talked about here on the program, you can certainly ask those questions there and get some clarification and understand what topics might be best for you. So get in touch with us again. It's customercare@hopefortheheart.org. Now let's get back to our conversation with George.
Well, my friend, I did a lot of talking just trying to describe certain situations. Are there thoughts that you have following what I just presented about enabling and sometimes people feeling powerless when they may not be powerless, but it is true that we can't just change somebody else? But what are your thoughts?
I can see how that could be true. That might be the case for the pastor, that might be how he's feeling.
I know several pastors who have felt this way, and it's very hard because they don't know, and because I've talked with several of them who said they don't know what to do. And there are certain suggestions. Sometimes a third party, in other words, to get counsel, but it depends on if that person is, the one who's especially critical or negative, is willing to have eyes to see that that's who they are. But as I said, there are times when we are in a position to do something, and there are times when we're not. And if at all, we have an opportunity. Now, I'll tell you one thing that I have done is, if somebody has been very caustic or whatever, I will go to that person. I'll wait, but I'll then go to that person and say, "Have I done something to offend you?" Because I don't know. Maybe there's something that I wouldn't even think about, or it wouldn't be intentional. But then if they say no, I'll just say, is there anything that I have done that you've interpreted as offensive, because I really do care. And in other words, I care that I not be that way. And if there's no, then to say, well, and then to present if there is something that is, I did this with one man in particular, and I was a teacher of a large singles class, and there was a person who became in a position at my church. He came in from the outside, and I told him if he wanted to take over and do anything else with the class, I told him I was doing verse by verse teaching on various books of the Bible, and we would spend like 12 weeks or whatever, 16 weeks on one particular book of the Bible, or a year through Romans, or a year through Genesis, or whatever, you know, and I just wanted to make sure he had the full ability, because he was over that division, a large division. And but for some reason, people would come to me and tell me, so-and-so, this man said this about you. And I thought, he's never once even come and heard anything. Or, you know, I was so surprised. And I finally went to him and I asked that question. I said, have I offended you in any way? He said, no. And then I asked the same question, just different ways. And then I said, is there something you would rather me be doing? Or, you know, no. And then finally I said, well, I understand that you've said this. Da-da-da-da-da. And there was an apology, but then no change, and the behavior continued on. So I got this man's wife, and then I took a friend with me, and I started again, said the same thing, and again, because I had proof and quotes of what he was saying, and what occurred, he apologized, and then we were going separate ways, my friend and myself, and then this man and his wife came back to me, and she said, June, I have never seen my husband this way. He's never been this way with anyone else. I don't know what is going on in him. And I said, well, thank you, because she started coming to my class, and she would always be there. So, you know, sometimes we don't know why somebody can even have it in for us. I just needed to go just and say, okay, if I'm here for this reason, I've got to focus. This wonderful pastor who had me to be doing this large class, he said, June, don't worry what other people do. Don't get involved in their causes. You bloom where, no, I, okay. He said, you don't get involved in their campaigns. You have tremendous opportunity to have ministry here. You just do what you're led to do. And so I call that bloom where you are planted. Just if God planted you someplace, then I can't help what weeds are growing other places. I need to be faithful to the Lord. And so what I would say to you is, my friend, you will have people that you'll look and you think, why are they doing this? And sometimes we don't know why. And there could be a jealousy. There could be whatever. But your responsibility is to look and say, God, why do you have me here? Now, you mentioned a particular church, and we didn't say the name. I'm not after that. But sometimes there is what I call, just talk to somebody about this, the holy boot to get you to move from one place to another place. God may have you literally wanting you, designing that you be someplace else, if it's appropriate. And that is what you need to pray about. Or if not, then just keep thinking, okay, is there any ministry that I could be a part of? Is there anything I could do to make a difference? Could I, or God, are you leading me to literally take any activity to be a help within a ministry? So tell me, are you called right now to be at that church? Or do you think that's healthy? Or is it, do you think that God could be actually moving you someplace else? My friend, talking to the microphone a little bit more. I want to hear everything you're saying. Oh, there you are. That's much better. Much better. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
At one point, I was attending every Sunday
uh-huh.
at church, and it was because it was convenient and it was close and uh-huh. and my. My car had broken down, so uh-huh. I started to attend a church that had a church that was farther away, but
Yeah.
Like that.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it took more effort
to get there. You know, it seems that you would want to be where you respected the leaders, and if theologically, if they're sound, that's the most important, that and that there should be a sense of fellowship. And if there is not a healthy treatment of people, that's hard. That's very hard. When there is not, it's not like you're forced to be someplace, but just continue to think and pray, God, do you want to use me in some capacity? What do I have a skill that would be a benefit to the church? Whether it's the other church that's a little farther away, or if unless he really wants you at the church where you felt that there was verbal and emotional abuse, that would be hard. But maybe if the other church, just ask, you know, is there a way that I could contribute in any way? And is there a ministry that where you need perhaps someone with my ability that I would be wanting to be of service? What do you think about that?
Yes, I'll think about that and pray about that.
Just pray about it and see if the Lord leads you to do that. And we'll still go on and send you our material on verbal and emotional abuse and manipulation. I think that could be a helpful thing. You can always share those truths with someone else. And I pray God will use you wherever you are. Because I can tell you have a sensitive spirit and want to do what's right. You continue to hang on to God's hope, my friend.
We will send Keys for Living, the first called Manipulation cutting the strings that control. Also, verbal and emotional abuse, victory over the power of abuse. We'll send those to tonight's caller free of charge. And we do that because of your generous support of this ministry. And you may order resources for yourself as well at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out the broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart. It's a free download for you. Find it wherever you find your apps. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.